class today. And I also want to find a classroom in another building. If we could arrange that, that would be great too. I'm encroaching on Jakey's space over here with all my stenders and you can't satisfy everybody, you know. All right, okay, so let's try to finish up Siman Kuf Ches today. We are up to Sif Hei. So Sif Mei Vav and Zayin, there are a few Leibedik topics that come up in Sif Mei Vav and Zayin that relate very much halacha l'maisa. Let's start with this. There is a machlokas rishonim. What exactly the case of bas tiha in the Gemara is? Something about with the wine and you're imbibing the aroma of the wine. So Rashi says that there's a hole in the barrel and you can smell to check the quality of the wine. That a professional wine checker, or I don't know, there must be a name for that, can smell through that hole in the barrel and you can check for the quality of the wine. Tosfos over quotes from Ibn Hanan that there's a straw through which you smell. It's not just a hole in the barrel, it's an actual straw that you smell through. The Aruch and the Rashba say, like Rashi, that there's a hole, but not that you smell with your nose, but rather somehow you imbibe the aroma through your mouth, that you're able to tell the aroma through that hole, not, again, by pouring any wine or by sipping any wine, by drinking any wine, but just allowing the aroma to waft into your, is that a word, into your mouth. Right, and that way you're able to get the aroma, but not through your nose, through your mouth. And then there are other Rishonim that quote Rabbeinu Chananel that you actually suck in through the straw and absorb the reyach that way. Meaning, I guess you don't have the straw dipped into the wine, because then if you sucked in through the straw, you'd be sucking in wine. But you have the straw in the airspace of the barrel, and that's where the aroma of the wine is strongest. And you suck in the air from the airspace of the barrel, and in that way you're drawing in the wine. So that's how they understand the Rabbeinu Chananel. So four different interpretations. So if you look in Shulchan Aruch over here in Sif Hei, Shulchan Aruch writes Mutru Lishov Bipiv Reyach Yayin Nesach Derech Nekev Shebachavis Leida Mutov. You could suck in the Reyach of Yayin Nesach through your mouth to discern whether it's good or not. The issue is clearly about Isurei Hana'a, right? Meaning it's not Isurei Achila like Nevela. And if we're talking about Yayin and a potential Isur of Hana'a from Yayin Nesach or Stam Yainam, so the question then becomes, why on earth is it Mutter? Meaning L'chore, you're getting Hana'a from that which is Asuba Hana'a. Also, if we're talking about Stam Yainam, we're talking about Yayin Nesach, we're talking about something that's Asuba Hana'a, the further question is, and this Rowi mentioned to me the other day, that he found the Tzvila Tzaddik asked this question, is what on earth are you smelling it for? Meaning, you can't have it anyway. So you're smelling it to see whether it's good or not good. And let's say it's perfect. Let's say it's delicious. Well, guess what? It's Yayin Nesach. You can't have it. So what's the point? Why would a person even try to see whether it's good or not good? You can't do anything with it anyway. So the Badei HaShulchan in the Biurim, Rowi pointed out to me the other day, it wasn't just you, who were you with? What? Rowi and Simcha pointed out to me the other day that maybe a guy had previously done you a favor, and your way of paying back the favor, because you're such a wine expert, you know how to suck in the air from his wine to be able to tell its quality. So that's how you're repaying the favor. You're repaying the favor that he did for you by assessing his wine. So Badei HaShulchan is not thrilled with that, because he says, L'chora, that would still be called Hana'a from Yayin Nesach. Meaning, if you owe the guy a favor, and this is the way you're repaying the favor, then L'chora, that is also called that you're getting Hana'a from the Yayin Nesach. So why exactly one would be inspired to do such a thing, to check on the quality of the wine, for that's going to be usher for him anyway, is an open-ended question, right? Meaning, for whatever reason, I guess Shulchan Aruch has a kasha for Maisa. Shulchan Aruch is saying, if you do this, then don't worry, it's not a violation of the Isra Hana'a. So the question begs itself, well, why on earth isn't it a violation of the Isra Hana'a? Right? The Ramah adds, Avlasel Toma, Avabishay Nabolo, meaning he talks about Yayin. Rama has an interesting chiddush that we're mechalek between Yayin Nesach and Stam Yainam l'gabei the Yisra Hana'a. But leaving that aside, there are three shitos in Rishonim as to why it would be mutter to enjoy the smell of the wine if, after all, it is asur b'hana'ah. So the Ravid is quoted in the Rashba, and the Shach in Sivkat and Chav Zayin says this. The Shach quotes from the Rashba that the isra na'ah to smell is only for those things that are omed lahariach, for those things that primarily the way one enjoys them is through smelling from them. The kol shasuyim lahariach keveret v'hadas aser. So if it's a rose that's aser b'hana'ah and you are smelling it, that is a violation of the isra na'ah. That is derech hana'aso. And therefore, it's going to be a violation of the Isra Na'ah. But Yayin Nesach is not there for the smell. The function of Yayin Nesach is not the smell primarily. They would only smell it because they want to assess, you know, the fermentation level of where exactly the wine is in terms of its development and in terms of its deliciousness. So that's not a violation of the Isra Na'ah. And the Raya, the Mordechai brings, is from Sukkot Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis. Right, he quotes over here from the Kachas of Mordechai, Vizel Shona, Abel Bedover Shein Ikaro Omid Lariach, but it is in Shach Sivkan Chav Zayin. Bedover Shein Ikaro Omid Lariach, Bahaka Amarava, Recha Lav Milsehi. The Recha is not going to be significant. Veraya Mehadas Veesrog B'Meseches Sukkah. And the Raya is from Hadas and Esrog in Meseches Sukkah. That a Hadas Shal Mitzvah, Gemara in Sukkah Lam Zayin and Beis says, is Asur Lahariach Bo. An Esrog Shal Mitzvah is Mutar Lahariach Bo. I mean, if you want to take your Hadasim and just enjoy the smell of the Hadasim on Sukkah, it's Asur. But with the Esrog, it's Mutar. The Gemara says, well, my time, but why would the Hadas be Asur, the Esrog be Mutar? Because the function of a Hadas is L'Recha. So therefore, when it's huktzul mitzvasa, you are makzi it from what? Huktzul mitzvasa means you've designated it for its mitzvah, as opposed to what it's normally used for. And what a hadas is normally used for is the smell. So when it's huktzul mitzvasa, you're saying, and not for smelling. Whereas an esrog that's huktzul mitzvasa, it's a not for eating. But an esrog is not primarily used for smelling, and therefore you're not makzi it the mitzvasa from smelling it. So that's how the Mordechai brings the Raya, that when something is asur l'ariach, something is made for smell, that's where the smell is going to be really significant. When it's not made for smell, that's when the smell is not significant. The Shach, however, writes, Avol be'emes, Raya zu eini makir. I don't understand this Raya. V'adraba, mashma l'chore ipcha. He says, I would have said the exact opposite. Because the Gemara over there says, so it quotes the same Gemara, right? He says, but what does that Gemara tell you? I think it tells you the exact opposite. Mashma dafka esrog de mitzvah. The asur mishum dehoksul mitzvaso, that an esrog that's meant for the mitzvah, that you're not allowed to smell because it's hoksul mitzvah. It's asur because it's hoksul mitzvaso. Hilcha kibbut sheino omid lariach, amrinan delo huksa reichol the mitzvaso. So he said, oh, but since it's something that's not made for reyach, so we say it's reyach is not hoksul mitzvaso. Avol davar sha asur min haTorah. But that which is an Isra Na'am in a Torah that's got nothing to do with Muktzah, it's got nothing to do with what's going on in your mind. Are you designated, not designating? That's a sugi about designating something for a mitzvah. But when you have something that's mamish and Isra min haTorah, so then lomishum Muktzah, near a day in Chilik, the self-self's nene, humei areach. At the end of the day, you're getting anah from Yisurei anah. So I don't understand, says the Shach, what kind of raya this is from the Gemara in Meseches Sukkah. So that's the rejection of that the Shach has of this Raya. Now, if you look in the Gilir Marsha, he quotes an Emuna Shmuel, a Tshuvas Emuna Shmuel, that seems to try to defend the Raya from the Gemara in Sukkah against the Hasaga of the Shach. Right? He says, Al them is Raya Zueni Makiva Adrava, says the Gilir Marsha, B'Tshuvas Emuna Shmuel, Sim Memhei Kasav, Dimakira Raya, that he does think it's a good Raya. I'm not sure I understand what he says, though. I mean, that part I got. The makir haraya, that he thinks it's a good raya. I can't follow the rest of it. The kavanas, maybe you'll help me out here. The kavanas of Mordechai, what the Mordechai means to say is, mimada hadas mutar l'arech bo, v'logazrinan sheyakutz la'achilas hanavim shebo, that the fact that you're allowed to smell the hadas, and we're not gozer that you're going to cut it to eat the anavim that grow on the hadas, the berries on the hadas, v'esrog da'omi la'achila asa la'riach d'gazrinan sheyakutz la'achila. And when it comes to an esrog, it's asa la'riach, because we're gozer that you'll cut it down la'achila. Hare mivor the davershi kar la'achila batal areach shabo ad kan l'shono. So you see that something that's primarily for achila, we don't think that the reach is so significant. What's he talking about? I'm not sure what he. It sounds like he's going on a different line in the Gemara where he's talking about yakutz doesn't mean muktzov here. Yakutz means to cut it down from the tree, meaning if it's mechuber lekarka, are you allowed to smell? It sounds like he's going on a different line in the Gemara over there. Are you allowed to smell the hadas that's attached to the tree and the esrog that's attached to the tree? Are we gozer that you might cut it down? So he's working on a different section of the Gemara than the one that the Mordechai quoted. And I don't know, maybe that's what Gilui Marsha says, it's Tzarchi and Lahavin Dvarav. It's difficult. That's a Gilui Marsha's assessment of the Emunah Shmuel, so I guess I'm not alone. Right? It's hard to understand in what way the Emunah Shmuel is defending the Mordechai from the Hasaga of the Shach. Okay, but be that as it may, that's the Chilik that is made by a group of Rishonim, that why is it that that you're allowed to, meaning that's the Chilik that might help in this context. That which is asur lahareach, that's where you're going to have the isser of smelling it when it's an isser hana'a. But that which is not made for its smell, it's not primarily used for its smell, you're not going to have that that problem. The Rashba in the Tshuva quoted over here in Sivkat and Chavav in the Shach, the Rashba in the Tshuva says that you can smell yayin mevusam shalgai if the purpose of the spices is to sweeten the taste. And it's just derech agav that it has a nice smell. And then he says, but for havdalah, it would be aser. It would be aser to use it for havdalah. But not because, the yayin doesn't give tam in the tavlin. The purpose of putting the tavlin in the yayin is that the tavlin should spice up the wine, not the other way around. The gamzeh shemariach bo, and when you smell that tavlin, ain't a mechavin the reach hayayin, el the reach hatavlin. You have no kavana for the reach of the yayin, and therefore it's not a violation to smell such tavlin that's been soaking in wine. But he says, don't use it for Avdolah, because akruvei you know the fachasecha. I'd come to Shonar Ashba, meaning that that's just not appropriate. You can go serve the Ribbono Shel Olam with something with the type of tavlin that had absorbed wine that you know that the Ribbono Shel Olam hates. That's not a nice thing to do. So Tosas asks that even if it's not made for the smell, l'chora, it should be also like any other hana'a shelo kederach hana'a. Meaning, why does it help that it's not made for the smell, that it's not primarily used for the smell? L'chora, it's an isra hana'a. So the idea of distinguishing between smells that are osel l'ariach and smells that are not osel l'ariach may come up in the context of other areas of halacha, but probably not in the context of Yisurei Hana'a, like the Shach points out over here. It may come up in the context of Bori Minei B'Samin. You don't say a bracha, for example. I mean, Bori Minei B'Samin is not just a din in Havdalah. Bori Minei B'Samin is Birch Sareach. It's a simin in Shulchar, in Aruchayim, in Hilchos Brachos, not in Hilchos Shabbos. That in general, whenever you smell something very good, there are different Birchos Sareach that you make. You say Bori Atze B'Samin, Bori Yisrei B'Samin, Bori Minei B'Samin. Different birchos hareach. So what if you smell something that smells good, but it's not asil hareach, meaning the primary hana'a of that item is not the smell. So do you say a bracha of Bari Minei B'Samin? So you walk by a coffee shop, and it smells like fresh coffee. So is there a bracha on the fresh coffee? You walk by a bakery, and you smell fresh baked bread. So is there a bracha? So Shulchan Aruch and Siman Reish Zayin says, no, because those things are meant to be eaten or drunk, but not meant to be smelled. The smell is secondary. If, however, you pick it up deliberately to smell it, then you would say Bari Minei B'Sabim. Meaning you pick up a loaf of bread, just you're on a diet where you're not allowed to eat any bread. So at least you want to enjoy the smell. So you pick it up just just to enjoy the smell of it. So then in a chenami, you'd say Bari Minei B'Sabim. That's why you can say Bari Minei B'Sabim on cinnamon, even though cinnamon probably is not really meant to smell. Cinnamon is primarily used as a spice. But if you're taking it for the smell, then you could say the bracha. So Mishabura Kosar and Prima Gadim, that if there's something that's just meant to mask a bad smell, then even if you take it for the smell, then you might not make a bracha. So we try to avoid that kind of situation. Meaning, if there's just something awful in the air, and you just want to smell something that will block the bad smell, then you would not say a bracha on it. But that's where you really have la halacha, the chiluk between that which is asoy lariach and that which is not asoy lariach. But the Shach points out, and the Rishon already pointed out before him, that it's very difficult to say in the dinim of Isurei Hana'a that it's not called Hana'a when it's not Asur L'Ariach. Of course it's called Hana'a. So that brings us back to our question. Why are you allowed to smell this Yayin if, it says in Shulchan, Mutter Lishof Pepiv, Reach Yayin Nesach. Here's Yayin Nesach, Mamashi Surei Hana'a. Why on earth are you allowed to smell it? So answer number one again, the Mordechai's answer, the Rashba's answer, it's not Asur L'Ariach, is very hard to accept, as the Shach points out. So Tosos gives a different answer, and Tosos says, no, it's because the smell of Yayin is mazik, a person's guf. It is very harmful to a person. So it's unhealthy. So even though you say a bracha on unhealthy foods, meaning, one might say, if it's so unhealthy, then and that's why it's not called that you're getting hana'a, so maybe when I eat a donut, it shouldn't be called that I'm getting hana'a, because there's nothing healthy about a donut, right? So how could it be? So we say a bracha on unhealthy foods. So the Aruch HaShulchan explains that nobody smells wine because it smells good. People only smell wine because they're trying to diagnose the wine. They're trying to figure out how good the wine is, not because they're trying to enjoy the wine. So whatever pleasure you get is not considered valuable because it's not really good for you. Meaning, even though in a chenami you may enjoy the smell of the wine derech agav when you're trying to diagnose the wine, but the very fact that you would never go out of your way to smell the wine shows you that that amount of hana is very teeny tiny. And it's therefore more than compensated for by the damage that it does to your body. People do go out of their way to eat donuts. Once again, Dunkin' Donuts is a thriving business, right? People go out of their way to eat unhealthy foods, apparently because they taste really good. And even though it harms the body, the hana'a that you get over, is more than compensates for whatever damage it does to one's body. The implication is, l'chora, meaning, again, the way the Aruch HaShulchan explains this to us is that you would never do it. You would never go out of your way to smell it. What if you have something that unquestionably harms your body in a significant way, but people do it all the time? People do go out of their way to smell it. So if you had something like that, then l'chora, it would be usher to do so if it was not kosher, right? So let's file that away in case we can come up with an example of something like that, as we progress today. Okay, third shita is Rabbeinu Chananel. Rabbeinu Chananel says that a smell is in the nostrils. That is not the way they would test the wine. The Shulchan Aruch over here is very clear. Mutter lishov bipiv, meaning assuming like those we've shown him that this is not done through the nose, but done through the mouth, and therefore it's not a violation of being nene from Yisurei Hana'a. The Grun Sifkat Lamed Aleph brings this from the Aruch and Shar Poskim, that only when you smell with your mouth do we say Rechalav Milsa at all. It is nothing, it is zero. It doesn't bother me that you're being showeif that reach. Now, when it comes to Pesach, let's say we're within Shloshim Yom, right? Let's say you're walking down the street past a bakery. So the smell of the bakery, I once put together a list of issues that can come up on a Pesach Hotel program, because I was at a Pesach Hotel, so I just was keeping a mental list, and then I made it into a physical list when I came back. So of the 34 things that non-kashrus related, 34 things that can come up, that I found was that in some of these hotels they have a cafe. That's like over the Pesach room doesn't take over the whole hotel, or they have a cafe attached. So walking through on the way to the meals, so you smell some delicious chametz on the way every time. So there's a sugi in the second paragraph of Pesachim about efshar v'kamachave and lo efshar v'kamachave. Right, you have to go through the factors. Is it possible to avoid it? And you're dafka not avoiding it. Is it? Are you having kavana for the reyach? You're not having kavana for the reyach. Remember when I was in 11th grade, Rabbi Hechshir, an MTA, he used to give the example that in the Cross Bronx there used to be a Stella Doro factory. So he said you would always smell that Stella Doro factory. I don't know, I'm on the Cross Bronx every day. I've never smelled anything good on the Cross Bronx. So I don't think there's a Stella Doro factory there anymore. But a lot of graffiti, but I don't think there's... I can tell you where to get a hubcap, but or to get your own hubcap back, probably. But I can't really tell you much about a Stella Doro factory. But anyway, the Bir Halacha in Hilchos Pesach in Simtaf Mem Gimel discusses that the Chemed Moshe asks, what would the problem be with smelling chametz when you consider the Shitas Haravid that something that's not Omid L'Ariach is mutter to smell? Meaning, if you go like that first approach, anything that's not Omid L'Ariach is not going to be a violation of Isra Anah. So in the Chora, the same is going to be true by chametz the Pesach. So Chemed Moshe, Bir Halacha, quotes Chemed Moshe, then maybe it is Asur L'Ariach. Maybe bread is meant to be smelt. Meaning wine is not meant to be smelled, but bread maybe is. You know, I think that bakeries have a thing where they pump out smell in front of the bakery so that you'll be drawn in to the bakery. So it could be that that's they're doing that on purpose because it's something that they want people to smell it. Furthermore, the Ramah in Sif Aleph says that Isur Chametz B'Mashuhu, we say Recha Milsa, meaning on something that's only Asur Mashu, like Chametz Pesach, then even when you would normally say Recha Lav Milsa, you're going to say Recha Milsa, right? That Ramah assumed, like the Shita, that Recha Lav Milsa is a function of Bittel, and that there is no Bittel on Chametz Pesach. Furthermore, there's a concern that by chametz, if you smell it, you'll come to eat it. That's exactly what the bakeries are hoping for when they pump out that smell, and the coffee shops in front of the store. Also, according to the Aruch, would be asr anyway, because you're smelling through the nose, and through the nose, it's always going to be asr. Yeah, sure.
Now we have, like, all sorts of wine industry is focused on, like, smelling it, and wine tasting.
A huge part of the experience is smelling it for the hana'ah of smelling, or to be able to test, meaning for the same reason they were talking about, that to be able to smell the whether it's how good it is before you taste it, and then you appreciate the taste all the more. All right, it's probably that. I think it's all Bubba Mises. I think if you gave him a $10 bottle of wine, they wouldn't be able to tell the difference. That's plenty of society. Okay, I think there's actually been data about that. Like, people have done, like... All right, anyway, so the Pischei Tshuva in Sifkat and Gimel discusses something that relates to cigarettes, l'chora. He discusses things that have, you know, tobacco products that have Yisurei Hana'a in the flavoring. Very nogeah for Pesach, because one of the only Yisurei Hana'a that is very prevalent nowadays is Chametz Pesach. Right? Most of the other Yisurei Hana'a we don't come across each and every day, or each and every year, but Chametz Pesach we do come across each and every year. So it's nogeah. So he writes, Ayin b'shar ha-melech perikiral milks machol surus binyan avak hatitun hanikra tabak hanikach novdik chavim. So can you be shoef tabak that you get from Ovid Chavin? Some people don't like it. Sometimes they sprinkle stam yenam on this tobacco. He says, even though the majority of poskim assume that stam yenab b'zman hazeh is asr bahana'a, you're still allowed to be shoef hatabak. Because that's if, hey, that it's mutter lishof pipiv, reyach, yayin esach. Meaning, worst case scenario, the tobacco product that you buy from the Nachri, and a chinami has tam of yayin esach, has reyach of yayin esach in it. But guess what? It says in Shulchan Aruch, you're allowed to be shoef pipiv. So I think he's discussing snuff, not the sniffing tobacco, not the smoking tobacco. And Pesachei Tshuva says that there's plenty of room to be makel, because it's likely batel b'shishim anyway. And since it's only an issur d'rabbanan and a safek shishim, we can be makel. And there are rishonim, which the Raman Sifhei refers to, that hold that stam yena b'zmanazeh is mutter b'hanah anyway. So maybe since it's not yayin nesach, it's only stam yenum in the tobacco products, and the Raman over here says that stam yenum is mutter b'hanah. So even though most poskim don't hold that way, but the Raman says it, and some rishonim hold that way. And also, maybe they only put the wine in to give a little bit of reyach. So but all of those reasons that the Pesachei Tshuva goes on to quote that I just mentioned don't apply to chametz, right? The implication of that Pesachei Tshuva is that if it would be a vadai on chametz, which is clearly also an issur midaraisa, and there wouldn't be shishim, then it would be usur. This idea of like trace amounts of chametz product in an otherwise inedible or otherwise non-chametz product is part of the discussion that people bring up all the time, although it seems to not be an issue at all, about paper plates and paper towels, that people are choshesh that they have a mashu chametz, the way they pack the towels, because they have some sort of, you know, the beginning of the roll of paper towel that it's stuck, you know, you have to like unstick it to start the roll, that there's some starch in there, and that starch might be chametz, and then you're going to take that paper towel and you're going to put it over your food that you put in a microwave, and that that amount of chametz is going to go into your food, or a paper plate that it doesn't stick together, so they put something on it so that it shouldn't stick together. So Rav Avadya quotes Magen Avraham in Siman Tav Samach Zayin Sifkat and Yud. Rav Avadya in the Chavad Das quotes this is machmir about tobacco soaked in beer, and all the Achronim Mishaburu the Shulchan Rav all agree that tobacco soaked in beer is a problem. So Rabbi Yaakov Emden says that the Chacham Tzvi, his father, thought that this was a joke. He says because the chametz is not ready l'achila. He says he can't believe the Magen Avraham meant that tobacco soaked in beer is a problem. Because chametz shenisraf v'nechrach kodem zman iser at she'ena roi lekelev, chametz that has been totally burnt and destroyed to the point that it's not roi lekelev is not going to be a problem on Pesach. So what's Magen Avraham talking about? So the Ramshik suggests that number one, since you take perfectly good and ratui beer, and number two, you didn't burn it, you made it into something that people get enough from. You turned it from drinkable, perfectly good beer, and then you soaked the tobacco product, which some people get enough from, in that. So that's not the same as making something not roi l'achilas kelev, where the whole chametz content is gone. So that's the question. Meaning, if there is a chashash chametz in tobacco, do you have to worry about smoking cigarettes on Pesach? Assuming otherwise you're allowed to smoke cigarettes on it, right? Meaning assuming that you're allowed to otherwise ever smoke a cigarette and that you're otherwise allowed to smoke cigarettes on Yantif. Okay, so leaving aside the two other Isurim Daraisa, which you are definitely violating if you smoke cigarettes on Pesach, right? Leaving aside those two Isurim Daraisa, is it also Chashash Chametz? So L'chora, according to the Magen Avraham, it will be a Chashash Chametz. Now, some of the poskim even view smoking as a type of achila, which would certainly make the Chumrah of the Magen Avraham more understandable. That comes up in a different context also. The idea that you treat smoking like achila, that's the basis that some of the poskim have to be makil, that it's considered ochal nefesh. Meaning, why do people think, you go into any Hasidish shtibl in certain neighborhoods, and before Musaf, there's someone outside smoking, right? On Yantif, right? So why does anyone think that it's mutter to do havara da'oraisa, right? A meleches havara midaoraisa on Yantif? What would give someone that impression? So what gives someone that impression is that you're allowed to do havara for the sake of ochel nefesh. You're allowed to do havara to cook your food. So one would argue if you view smoking as eating, then this is, I think, the way the Pnei Yeshua writes, that if you view smoking as eating, that's called ochel nefesh, because you're ki'ilu eating the cigarette. Now, you're not eating in a normal way that you eat it, but there are some early poskim that viewed it that way. A part of the reason they viewed it that way is they said, I think maybe Rabbi Yaakov Emden writes this way, that after you finish smoking, you're not as hungry. as you are before, because it kills the appetite a little bit. So they assumed, oh, so you see, it's mamish like achila. Now, the paper towel thing is not a problem for a bunch of reasons. First of all, it's not chametz, it's only kidney. Second of all, it's not ro'ui, as is, for anything. It's not placed there to be nena from it at all. It's just there to separate between the plates and the paper towels. So that l'chor is on. It used to be in the old days, when I was a kid, there was one Pesach book that came out with the halachos of and product lists and things like that. Now there are a million, and the OU puts out a product list, and the and Rabbi Bess out of Los Angeles does, and Starkeda, everyone's got Pesach guides to follow. Back in the day, it was only Rabbi Blumenkranz, Zichron Levracha. Rabbi Blumenkranz was a Rav in Farakwe, a Talmud Chacham, and he was the only one. He did research on every single product. He also held of every single chumrah in the book. And many chumras that you'll have a hard time finding in the book. So, like when I was growing up, it was understood that like you had to check every pill in your medicine cabinet to see if it had any chametz problem, any kidneys problem, or whatever, to check Rabbi Blumenkranz's list, because he was the only vote. No one else put anything out. So he set the policy for decades. He's entitled to his opinion, but the large majority of poskim assume not that way. So so he would have with the paper towels and with the paper plates and also, by the way, it's also to shave and like whatever he could stick into the to the book. He'd get into that Pesach guy. But all of this is background. This brings us to vaping, right? Meaning, is there a kashrus issue with what do they call it? Vape juice? Is that a thing? What do they call it? Don't pretend you don't know. Come on, what's it? What?
Vape juice.
Vape juice. Okay. So, is there a problem with meaning? Do you need to have hashkacha on vape juice? Is there vape juice with hashkacha? There are haimisha places that will sell it that will tell you that it's kosher. Do any of them have hashkacha? Does anyone know? Any of them actually have more? One of the haimisha hashkachas give hashkacha on vape juice. Yeah, the CRC does. They say that it needs hashkacha. Do they give? What? For drops. Okay. All right. Okay. So our very own Rav Daniel Stein wrote a Torah Web article about vape juice a while ago, about vaping. And he went through, all the reasons that you shouldn't vape. But one of the issues that he tackled was the kashrus issue. So it was more halachic than your typical Torah Web article, because he was discussing the kashrus issue. So he starts the kashrus section by saying, look in Siman Kuf Ches Sif Hey. That the Shulchan Aruch quotes from the opinion of Rava in Avodah Zarah Samach Vav Peis that you're allowed to be shoeif bepiv reyach yayin nesach bastia. However, he points out, Tosfos says that's because the wine is bad for you. It's, in Rabbi Stein's words, caustic and offensive. So, because the wine is bad for you, that's why you're allowed to be shoeif bepiv. But in essence, Rava would agree that to orally inhale concentrated vapor of usher food, which is not caustic and offensive, but is rather pleasant and enjoyable, would be like drinking it and would be usher. Meaning the reason that it's mutter to take it in is because it's caustic and offensive. Moreover, the Rama asers even te'ima of usher foods. Aval usher l'to'amo aval b'sheino bolo, the Rama writes. You're not allowed to taste it even if you don't swallow it. So that would lead one to believe that vaping a non-kosher vape juice is going to be a problem, right? Because it's not caustic and offensive, and therefore you're being shoeif pepiv, that which is not kosher, and the little te'ima that you have, afal pi sheino bolo, even though you're not swallowing anything, is asur to do on machalos asuros. He writes that when inhaling the vapor produced by e-cigarettes, small amounts of the e-juice are tasted and even swallowed. as evidenced by the marginal caloric intake involved in vaping. I guess they have nutrition information on the side of the other, of how many calories it is. So I guess there is some minor caloric intake, so apparently you're taking something in. Now, just a moment. Can you argue on that? Argue on it. Oh, okay, we'll get to that soon, about Te'ima Machalasurus, okay. But well, meaning, the Rama says you're not, right? The Rama says also the Toma. So we'll have to figure out what the Chilik is, right? What you are and are not allowed to be Toma in terms of Machalasurus.
There's got to be some limit. I mean, you breathe on Pesach, there's like some particles in the air, you can go to the ocean, that's also fine.
Meaning, at what point does the vapor become so insignificant that it just doesn't exist? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, the same would be for smelling anything.
So Rabbi Stein writes that it is conceivable that since vape juice in its raw liquid state has a foul taste, it has permanently forfeited its status as a forbidden food. Meaning, what's he trying to say? That if you were to take a bottle of the juice and say, is this Roi La'achila? Can you eat this? Any normal human being would tell you, no, you absolutely cannot eat it. It would taste bitter. It would taste, even the mango flavor or whatever else, it would taste disgusting if you had it in its juice form. And therefore, as is, the way you buy it in the liquid form is not Macholos Asuros, because Nevela Shena Ruya Lager is not Nikra Nevela. So it's not considered a non-kosher food. However, his argument in the other direction is that, I don't know, how confident are we to say that something is not Roi L'Achila Sadam, that something is not Roi L'Achila? After all, Rav Shlomo Zalman and Milcha Shlomo and a couple of places in the Tshuvas, Chelek Aleph, Siman Yud Zayin, and Chelek Beis, Siman Samach Dalil, Rav Shlomo Zalman points out that the Gemara in Maseches Bechoros is unsure whether donkey urine is Roi L'Achila Sadam or not. So probably vape juice is not worse than donkey urine. I've never tried either, as far as you know. But probably it's not worse than donkey urine. So we're going to say that we know for sure. You know, this is the heter I spoke about in Temen Alachashir the other day. Normally, Tarovas Chametz needs to be Nifsameach, only Nifsameach Chilas Adam, not Nifsameach. Chametz Gomer needs to be Nifsameach Chilas Kelev to lose the status of Chametz. Tarovas, Chametz like the Tarovas, only needs to be Nifsameach Chilas Adam to be able to get Hanoah from it. So Shaila is about dog food, right? If you have dog food that's Tarovas Chametz, can you feed it to your dog on Pesach? So the argument would go, well, it's not Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev, obviously, because it's dog food, the dog is eating it, but maybe it's Nifsal Me'achilas Adam, and it's only Chametz Lai De Tarovas. And Tarovas, Chametz Lai De Nifsal Me'achilas Adam is good enough, so maybe you could feed that to your dog. So why is it that the CRC, and the OU, and the STAR-K, and the CHAF-K, and the OK, and all the kashrus organizations that you've ever heard of, will say, you need to get special kashrus best of dog food for your dog, you cannot feed it dog food that has any Chametz in it. What about the fact that it's Nifsal Me'achilas Adam? So they're choshish for this Rosh Hashanah Zalman. I don't know that the dog food is worse than donkey urine, right? Meaning, so since I don't know, it could be that it's not Nifsal Me'achilas Adam. If you were desperate enough, maybe you would munch on the dog food. I don't know. How do I know that that's considered Nifsal Me'achilas Adam? So but the pashtus is it is Nifsal Me'achilas Adam. So that's what the IDF relies on. They have an Oketz unit, which is the canine unit of the IDF, which has been extremely valuable during this war that we're in right now. There have been numerous cases where the dog went in first and got blown up and saved a number of humans, a number of soldiers from suffering a similar fate. So it's been a very, very valuable unit. Now, when you start changing the diets of dogs, they start going a little crazy. And in the past, they've tried to stop feeding it their regular dog food, and they had to take half of the canine unit out of commission for Pesach because, Shinrei Vesed, Chilas Cholim Eayim, that when you change eating habits, you get sick. So the dogs were getting sick, and they were like, "I'm not working today." They were taking the day off. They were not interested in being able to do their job. So they're relying on what's l'chora pretty good heter. right, that you can feed it because it's chametz al yedei tarovetz, it's not really achilas adam. We're not thrilled about relying on that in general, stam, because you decided during COVID you need to get a dog. So that we're not going to rely on that, you know. But for the canine unit, the IDF, we will rely on it. So if Stein wants the taina, we don't rely that things are nifsal me'achilas adam because we never know when something is in fact nifsal me'achilas adam. Furthermore, he quotes the Magen Avraham. Magen Avraham, we mentioned before, Tav Samach Zayin Siv Katan Yud, says that cigarettes that have beer-soaked tobacco in it are asra on Pesach, even though the tobacco is clearly not edible. And Maram Shik explains that since the beer-soaked tobacco is designed to be inhaled, and it has a pleasant flavor when you inhale it, the tobacco can still be considered ra'ui la'achila. Even though you can't eat it as tobacco, but you can inhale it, and that's what it's meant to happen to it. So l'chora, this is working with the assumption that when you inhale something, that's a type of achila. So since this vape juice is intended to be inhaled and enjoyed, maybe it would still have the status of macholos asuros. And if it still has the status of macholos asuros, then maybe it needs hashkacha. I remember in a pre-Pesach Q&A, we once asked Rav Willig about perfumes and deodorants for Pesach. You know, based on the fact that it's not really lachilas kelev, or, you know, well, so even if it has, you know, types of alcohol that are chametz. So he said that he remembers Rav Aaron Soloveitchik had a problem with liquid chametz because he saw drunks ingest it. I guess Rav Aaron, through his walks through Washington Heights or the Lower East Side when he was an MTJ, whenever, I don't know, he saw a bunch of drunks on the sidewalk downing perfume and deodorant. So he said, it's obviously not nifsal based on that. And then Rabbi Willick said, vapes are usher all year long, so I will not discuss it. So he wouldn't, you know, he wouldn't be yored into the shayla. That's very much the shitaso, because you could ask him how to make coffee on Shabbos, and he will say coffee is an addictive substance, and I will not discuss it. He won't even, you know, get it. You know, if he won't discuss coffee, he's not going to discuss vape. Yeah. So.
I'm a little confused about the vape juice thing, because let's say like something like vinegar. If I drink that plain, a cup of vinegar, I'd also probably pass out. But I could say that I'm not drinking vape.
Yeah, I don't know if you'd pass out, but it certainly wouldn't taste good. But it's a food ingredient, meaning it's something that you would put into a salad dressing or whatever, and that you would eat it as a food. Vape juice you would never eat as a food. It's only in an aerosol form that it's at all usable.
I'm saying a little bit of it if
your whatever you call it Kli were a little bit off and was letting in actual liquid instead of just an aerosol form, it would be disgusting. You'd start vomiting, probably.
I mean, based on that, like, I know we said in Gemara that you don't know if donkey.
When you're talking, they don't drill. When I'm talking, they drill. yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Donkey, or we're not sure if it's this, but if you're telling me that we would like to throw up and it seems to be toxic, can we make any judgment? Tell me lighter fluid.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to do about the donkey urine thing. I mean, you know, I don't know. You know, you always have, like, people say, well, there's a tribe in Africa that actually donkey urine is a great, you know, it's a delicacy. You know, like, you know, whatever. I don't know. I don't know what to do about that. I don't know. Meaning, if you hold it, that's a riot. So then nothing. There's nothing that you can be able to confidently say. You know, just to give some context to this, Rav Soloveitchik held that toothpaste is nifsal me'achilas kelev. Rav Shatzer said that they asked Rav Soloveitchik, someone said, but my dog actually eats my toothpaste. And he said, you have a crazy dog, but it's nifsal me'achilas kelev. It doesn't change the fact that your dog is crazy. It doesn't change the fact that it's nifsal me'achilas kelev. Others argue that it's not even nifsal me'achilas adam. That toothpaste is very delicious. Rabbi Jachter wrote an article. He said that he once asked Rav Amital, Zichrono Livracha, and Rav Amital said that he remembers, I guess, either during the war or right after the war, when they didn't have much food, they would take bread and they would put toothpaste on their bread because they just wanted to give it some flavor. And people would use that as, like, instead of cream cheese. So it's some, you know, so I guess you go in different directions. It's very hard to know how to assess these things. Now, on the issue of, so again, so does vape juice need hashgacha? So the CRC, you said, says yes. I didn't see that myself, but you guys told me that. Rav Stein seems to come down that yes, that it does need hashgacha. You could understand a pretty reasonable argument to be made that it's nifsal me'achilas anything, and therefore it's not a food product. And when you have something that's nifsal me'achilas, so it ceases to be non-kosher, right? So it's nifsal me'achilas, and nevela shenri leger is not nevela, and the only way to imbibe it is in an aerosol form, not in a food form at all. And one could argue that maybe it's not nifsal me'achilas. If you're going to hold that that vaping is called achila, that itself, that act is called achila, or that smoking is called achila, just be aware of the consequences, right? I mean, the consequences of that means that you're probably going to have to be matir on yantif, right? Because you're going to have to call it ochel nefesh. We don't have to get into that.
That argument about if you call it ochel, how does that compare to Gemara? Then inhaling it would be achila, and that's been usher. You can't, even if it's bad for you, you can't do that.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Why is that different than being shoyif pepiv, the ayin nesek, which obviously is not considered an achila because it's mutter. You're allowed to do it. Yeah, not sure.
Maybe,
yeah.
Maybe doesn't
mean
that doesn't sate your hunger the same way that
the smoking kills your appetite, and this doesn't kill your appetite. Maybe it even whets your appetite. Who knows? Okay, now the Darkei Tshuva quotes a Rivash. Darkei Moshe, rather. Darkei Moshe knows Vav in the bottom of the Torah. Quotes a Rivash, where he says, "Asu litom davar iser, afim eino ochlo, to logara mirechem el sad kalashonim." He says, "You're not allowed to be toim davar iser, even if you're not going to eat it, because it's no worse than rechem milsa." The Rivash discusses if isurei achila are also asu b'ti'ima, and he concludes that, for example, for a tainas yachid, he says, we allow it. We allow ti'ima because you're only makabel isra achila, not an isra ti'ima when you accept it upon yourself a tainus. But generally speaking, when you have actual macholos asuros, so it's even asur b'ti'ima. And his raya is from the bastia, that they taste the reyach with their mouths, and Rava allows it because all it is reyach. Mashma, that had it been actual mamashos of isra and nachos reyach, then it would have been asur to taste. So it could be the reason that it's asr is that if you put some mamashos in your mouth, you may come to swallow it. So it's like schar schal lekamer chalos sikrav that you say to a nazir, you know, it says avoid any problems, and that's why the Ramah here writes avol asr l'tomo afal pi she'en obolo, even though you're not swallowing any of it. Now, when it comes to recha, we know that recha lav milsa b'dieved. Recha is only milsa l'chadchila. So l'chora, if the reason you're not allowed to be toim is that it's logara me'recha, you have no raya that it's more chamor than recha either. And it would therefore follow that l'chadchila, you shouldn't smell non-kosher foods, and therefore you also shouldn't be toim non-kosher foods. It would have the same din, meaning even recha is going to be aser, even l'chadchila. However, the Tshuva Semuna Shmuel writes that it's mutter to taste non-kosher foods against the Ramah. And he says a raya. Musk is a secretion of a certain non-kosher animal. So according to many Rishonim, musk is not kosher. You cannot eat it. Yet, the Gemara in Brachas Daf Mem Gimel says that the bracha on smelling musk is bori mine besamim. So you see that not only are you allowed to smell non-kosher foods, but apparently you're even allowed to say a bracha on non-kosher foods. Because reicha is only when eating a food that has absorbed reyach of something else. That's what the Emun Shmuel says. When we talk about reicha milsa, reicha lav milsa, that's if the reyach of a non-kosher food goes into your food. But if you're just smelling something, that's not in the parsha of reicha milsa or reicha lav milsa. The Mishnah Brura in Reish Tazayin, Paskins like that Emun Shmuel. But he says, I better not to do it because it might cause you to want to eat the food. So if you deliberately you know, go to Trefa Barbecue and you start smelling the delicious ribs or whatever, obviously you might come to eat it. But musk has a nice fragrance, but it's not edible at all. So that's why the Gemara says you can say a bracha and you can smell it because it's not going to be a problem. Right, this relates to the issue of the air-up water bottle, right? Is that recha or not? So if you hold that it's only when tiny particles of the food land on another food in an amount that affects the fragrance, but it doesn't affect the taste. So over here, it's not tiny particles of food, it's just smelly air. And smelly air is not usher. That's what Rav Schachter thought to say. Yeah. Louder, I can hear. According to? Yeah, if you hold like Tosos, the Chara it is. If it's not Mazik you, then it's... Shalom Ketosos, the Chara. Yeah?
You said musk is
also
to eat? Is that what you said?
Yeah. It's not Roy Lachil.
It's not also?
And it's a gland of non-kosher animals, so if it was Roy Lachil, it would be also.
So why does
and if you eat it, it's Achshavei. So, yeah, it's also.
So the Ramah said that you're not going to make... Or someone said they're not going to make up some manyan nesa. Make a
bracha,
can't use that for the sun. So how
is
the difference between
that
and musk?
Because the Yayin Eskos Roy
L'Achila. Yeah, that's the question.
Yeah. Now, the post can discuss whether you can be toim toothpaste. Meaning, does toothpaste need to have hashkacha? The post can talk about whether you could be you can do ti'imas nosin tamluf gam. Like you're cooking, let's say, cleaning. Meaning, we say, Rama over here says, can't do ti'ima on something that's asur b'achila. What if it's something that's pagum? You're making a cleaning product and you need to taste to see if it has enough of enough salt in the cleaning product. But it's going to be disgusting. Are you allowed to do ti'ima on that? So the Tzemach Tzedek HaKadmo, not Milubavitch, in Simon Mem Zayin, is quoted in the Mati Yonason on the page. Says that even though we're not making lechachila no sintam lufgam, they never made a gzeiron to ima that you're not allowed to eat something that has a tam pagum lechachila, but they never made such a gzeiron to ima. Pri chadosh is machmir because the gzeiros chazal is not to be mechalik between achila and to ima, that whatever you're not allowed to eat, you're not allowed to be towing. And that discussion is the basis of the tshuva of the Har Tzvi in Yerodeus and Sadihei about toothpaste. Toothpaste that has tarovah shel isur, because there's only ti'ima without blia, right? So and it's pagum, right? Toothpaste doesn't taste good as a food. It may make your mouth feel clean and it may give you a fresh breath, but it doesn't taste good as a food. So in Kisvei Rav Henkin Chelik Beisim Memalif, he says, well, you don't swallow toothpaste, and therefore there's no problem with the ti'ima of the toothpaste, even if it has non-kosher flavoring in the toothpaste. And in Rav Vos Ephraim, Chelik Beis, in Yod, Rav Ephraim Greenblatt quotes the same from Ramosha. So the two Gedolei Poskim in America held that way, that toothpaste is not a problem. That's why the minhag in America has always been, that you don't look for hashkacha on toothpaste. You just buy Crest, Colgate, whatever, and you don't have to look for any hashkacha on toothpaste. There are other reasons to be mekel on toothpaste. Again, Har Tzvi is all about the fact that it's not roi l'achila. So once it's not roi l'achila, it's not going to be aser. And that's what the Star K holds, that's what Rav Schachter holds, that even though, yeah, you might even swallow small quantities of toothpaste while you're brushing, but it's not achshave, because the toothpaste, any toothpaste that you swallow is totally unintentional. And not all Rishonim agree with the concept of achshave anyway. The Ran in Psachim, Daf Heim Biz, B'Dap Erif, says that if you consume chametz she'en roi l'achilas adam, she'en roi l'achilas kelev, you haven't violated an issur. Why? Because apparently we're not worried about achshave. And that which is Nifsal Me'achilas Kelev. Now, Rabbi Belsky, Zichron al-Vracha, said he doesn't understand what everybody's talking about, that toothpaste is not really l'achila. He said our toothpaste is made to be delicious. So you wouldn't consume large quantities of it. You wouldn't sit there and have toothpaste for lunch, but a little bit of it people might enjoy very much. You don't have to be a crazy dog to eat toothpaste. You may just be a friend of Rav Amital's. right? Meaning it doesn't have to be something that's insane for a person to consume toothpaste. There is another kula that they quote from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky Zatzal. Rabbi Yaakov held that a significant ingredient in the toothpaste is a polishing agent, a certain chalky polishing agent that polishes up the teeth. And it's abrasive, and it's calcium carbonate. So Rabbi Yaakov Paskin, that even though you would normally require shishim to be mevatel the iser, over here, since the toothpaste consists of chalk, which is not a food item at all, it becomes batel barov. It's unclear where he gets that from, right? Meaning if in Simen Tzadi Hei, we learned that Afer is a davar apogim, but we never said that, that all of a sudden you only need rov. Anyway, Rabbi Yaakov, that was the kula of Rabbi Yaakov. So Rabbi Belsky, Zichrono Livracha, at a later date, in an OU document in 2005, Rabbi Belsky reported that he had reviewed 25 brands of toothpaste to see whether there's actually calcium carbonate and majority chalk, ingredient in the toothpaste. And he said that for the most part, there isn't. It's been replaced with a different type of non-food item, but it's a very minor ingredient. It's not a majority. It's not the primary ingredient. And therefore, the non-kosher ingredients may be a significant portion of the toothpaste, may even be the majority of the toothpaste. And therefore, Ivelsky thought toothpaste does require hashkacha. This all depends on the metzias. And how do you define it? It goes back to donkey urine. Everything goes back to donkey urine. Right? Is it roi lachila? Is it not roi lachila? So if you consider, if you're choshesh, that donkey urine is roi lachila, and therefore toothpaste is also going to be roi lachila, so then yeah, then ein achanami. You probably need a shkacha on your toothpaste, because you're not even allowed to be toweim that which is asr ba'achila and roi lachila. But if you assume that it's not roi lachila, so the isr ti'ima is not going to apply, or is likely at least not going to apply, on that which is not roi la'achila. The same would probably hold true for mouthwash, right? Meaning whatever little bit you might swallow is unintentional. The question becomes, even if you make it on toothpaste, what about the children's toothpaste? Dafka make it taste like bubble gum and like whatever, right? I mean, the biggest problem with those toothpaste, they find that the kids just go into the bathroom in the middle of the night and eat it because they find it to be very delicious. So that, then maybe you're going to start needing hashkachas on toothpaste like that. Okay, we'll stop here. Bezram, tomorrow, kuf test. Tomorrow we'll move on to Yavesh be Yavesh in this area.